If you're running a small business, I'd be willing to bet you think you're too small to worry about creating core values. Or maybe you have a team of freelancers and contractors and some part-time workers, so you think it really doesn't matter yet. I'll do that when. After listening to today's episode, I am confident you're going to feel inspired to start intentionally building your culture today, regardless of the size of your team. This is World's Greatest Boss, the podcast that helps you navigate leadership challenges that come from running a business. I'm Jackie Koch, and I've spent over a decade building high-growth companies and leading HR with startups. I've made it my mission to help all small business owners avoid some of the mistakes I've had to help clean up. Today on the show, you are going to learn all about how small businesses just like yours can see the positive impacts of intentionally creating your culture early. Or maybe you're not even early. Maybe you've been in business for a while and you just didn't think this stuff mattered. I'm confident that you are going to leave this episode feeling inspired to make some changes. I'm joined by Shannon Weinstein. Shannon is a Big Four CPA turned entrepreneur. She's a fractional CFO for small businesses and the host of Keep What You Earn, a top-ranked podcast. What I love most about Shannon is her commitment to creating a different kind of accounting firm, one where stereotypes are broken and people are building some thriving careers. I've had a firsthand view to how she's helping really make the accounting field enticing to younger generations so that they actually want to pursue that as a career path. And I gotta say, it is a mindset shift that more of you need to adopt. She's also one of my business besties, so I get to truly see this firsthand. On the show, you're gonna learn how aligning your team's values with those of your company can lead to just a more cohesive and motivated team. You're gonna learn strategies to integrate continuous learning into your team's daily routine, making sure that they are learning and growing, because isn't that what all of us want? You're going to hear about ways to offer benefits that genuinely meet what your team wants and needs so that they feel inspired and loyal to you. And then you're also going to learn how to leverage some of your existing resources, like content you're making, things you're creating for clients, to leverage how to use that stuff for effective onboarding. Shannon has this incredible hack that you have to listen to. And then you're going to also learn tips for creating an environment where your team feels empowered to take initiative and drive their own development, because don't we all want that, right? So you are in for a treat. You are going to learn exactly what another small business owner is doing, not what some corporate company is doing or what some thought leader like me is doing, right? You're going to learn from a fellow business owner. So I cannot wait for you to hear from Shannon. Let's dig in. Shannon, I'm so excited to have you back on the show. So last week, I had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with you at some business networking events and just you and I connecting. You're one of my business besties. And you were sharing so much of the stuff that you're doing with your team because you now have a team. And I was like, I need to have Shannon on the show to unpack some of this stuff, because what you're doing is simple, yet so impactful and so meaningful to your team. And so listeners are in for a treat. Okay, let's set up first. Talk about how many employees do you have? Like, unpack the structure of your business.
Yeah, let me give you context of what we do, right? So I'm a fractional CFO, which is a way of saying I work on the numbers for several small business owners, but my team and I are a mix of, we have client service people who help me do that for clients. We also have marketing team. We have operations. So just like any other business, we have multiple dimensions of the team that works in harmony, which we're really striving for, like more of that harmony and making sure that everybody is, I always say we're an orchestra. And if I'm the conductor, I just have to make sure everyone knows how to play their instrument and knows their part. So everybody's really clear on what they're supposed to be doing, but I can't go like yank the instrument out of their hand and tell them how to do it differently. Like, I have to trust that they're professionals and they know what they're doing. So my philosophy on that is just hiring the right team is everything. And you've taught me so much about that by working together. And yeah, we have client service folks. We have a team of six now, a mix of employees and contractors based on the role and based on the requirements, but still growing, not just from a number standpoint, but in terms of what people's roles are.
Are they full-time? Are they part-time? Is it mixed? Talk a little bit about that too.
So some are full-time, some are part-time. I think some of the more part-time roles are really dedicated to certain functions or certain projects and responsibilities. We have interns, which are obviously part-time because they have school to worry about. And then we have, I think I have one full-time employee who's my partner in crime, Kaylee, who works on all the accounting for the clients. But other than that, everybody else is pretty much part-time or fractional because they have very specific duties that don't require 40 hours a week.
Okay, awesome. This is even better because what you just described is like a team of fractional part-time people, and you're still vested in helping them develop and creating a culture. And I think too often, especially if you're building a team for the first time, you wait until you have 10 full-time employees and then you think about it. And so I'm even more excited to unpack. And so thanks for sharing. So you and I started working together a year ago. Yeah. And you had been in corporate for a long time. I just want to set this context a little bit. So you'd been in big four corporate accounting. You started your business a few years ago. You went full time. When did you go full time with your business?
End of 2021.
Okay. End of 2021. It was you figuring it out for a while. And then all of a sudden you were like, okay, I need to hire a team. And so you and I started working together. You hired me to help you hire people and figure that out. And so together, we went through setting up your hiring operations first. I always think that's critical to make sure you have that set up before you do anything else. And a lot of times it's overlooked because people just run to quickly add someone to their team. And then all of a sudden they're like, shit, I have a team. So why did you also think that was important first?
You know how it's, I'm hungry for the help. It's like how we'll eat anything when we're starving, even if it's garbage. And we know it's not good for us or our future. You can't operate that way with people where you're going to get to a point where you're starving and you'll literally take anyone with a beating heart that has two hands to type with. I had made mistakes before. I had made mistakes with hiring contractors. I had an idea of what I was looking for, but I knew I needed to be clearer about how to articulate and almost market to those people. So just like we have marketing to ideal clients, I was looking at, Jackie, help me with my messaging so I can attract ideal candidates. And in that process, what you taught me was there was a hiring process, but also like, so what's your culture? What are your values? What are you looking for? What are the core traits in these people? And that's something I hadn't really thought about because I was like, I can't just put up a job description with the duties and the tasks and like people just come to it. And that's what I was used to in corporate was people were just happy to work for these Fortune 50 companies that I really didn't have to sell them on working for these big companies. They knew who they were. And where I was a fish out of water was, no one knows who the heck I am or what I do, and I'm not a known brand. So I have to work a little harder to actually recruit people. So that's where I noticed that there was a gap. And I said, Jackie, I need help with creating this culture and sort of a brand as a company to work for, not just a company to hire for what we do.
Awesome. I love that you thought about that. I just want to unpack what made you even think about it that way, because that is not people's natural instinct. And I'm sure people listening to the show don't think that. So I know you made mistakes, but what's like some of the pain you were feeling that made you actually take that seriously?
I'd say, well, I've worked with clients my entire career. So we're talking about decades. I've worked with clients and worked with different people. And working with clients and letting clients go or realizing they weren't good matches has always been an experience in figuring out what I value or figuring out where my boundaries are. And I think that as I was hiring people, contractors, whatever, I was getting clearer about who I wanted. And then I was just like, Jackie, how do I find those people? What do I have to say? What do I have to do to find more of those people? What do I have to put in the job description? It's almost like finding a copywriter for my job description. In a sense, I realized that it was the same feeling I had about marketing, where I said, my clients are constantly late with their documents. Really, this is really annoying me. I want to find better clients. And what I did was I saw the results that happened when I shifted my messaging into repel marketing or attractive marketing toward the people I was looking for. And I said, you know what? I bet I can flip the script and do this for people to work for me as well, because they're going to be attracted to my brand. And I want people to be attracted to what we do here if they want to work here. And I thought, I just saw that parallel with marketing and said, I think I need a job description copywriter or someone to help me figure out who I'm looking for.
this slight little nuance in thinking, I think, is so critical to highlight, because too often when you post a job, listeners are like, how do I get through all of the applications? How do I find the diamond in the rough? You're like immediately thinking about how you're going to screen people out. And that means you're getting the bottom of the barrel. And so that shift in the way you thought, you were like, how do I get more of what I like? I got to know what I like before I can get more of it, or what I want before I can get more of it. And I think that's something that is so lost when it comes to hiring, is they can rattle off what they don't want, but nobody can ever tell me what they want.
When I write job descriptions too now, I'm actually writing from like what the person I'm looking for, like I think about their perspective and what they are looking for, and trying to highlight where we can sync up with that value or with that thing. So I would literally write, tired of burning out, working all these hours, feeling like shit. I think I said shit in my job description 3 times because I was like, that's me. If you like this job description and you're like, I love that she just said shit, cool, we'll get along. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I was super clear about putting in my job description the tone of how we work, the culture, and infusing that in, whether it be directly or indirectly, so that I could find the people who were attracted to that job description. Like they're attracted to your landing page or your website or your social media mm-hmm. posts. Like, how can you use language and tone that showcases who you are and makes people want to work with you?
I just love you so much. This is all stuff that we do with clients. And this is all stuff that when people hire us to recruit for them, we make them do this stuff. And let me tell you, 60% of them, we are dragging them along. 40% of them are really excited. 100% of them, when we find them the right person, are so grateful that we did it, right? And they're going to do it next time. But this is all the stuff that we unpack when we work with our recruiting clients. It carries throughout the whole company. And that's actually what I want to talk about more, and why I really wanted you to come on the show, was because yes, hiring the right people is important. And a whole bunch of other stuff is important as well. Talk to me about how you've curated the different benefits that you're offering to your team, or the culture that you want to have, because you're doing something really special with your team, and your team loves working with you. And I want other listeners to the show to hear what you're doing so that they can like think about how they can implement some of these things into their business. But I think in order to get to those specific things, we need to go a little bit meta on how you thought about it once you had people join.
So first of all, everybody will find their own version of this. This is just me and uniquely me and how we've implemented this. So what I was telling Jackie at dinner the other night was about how I was expressing gratitude to you, because I said, you know what, you got me like down this path of thinking about my values, and then it challenged me to go a bit deeper with it. And what you had done with me was we worked on this hiring plan where you said, what do you value in your team? And one of the biggest, I'll use as an example, one of the biggest traits was that they are a lifelong learner. I said, I need people who are hungry for new knowledge, who will seek out like new knowledge, new events, new people to follow, new things to consume to improve their skill or just their personal development. And I said, that is something I want, someone who's hungry for development and growth and lifelong learning. So I said, okay, I'm putting that in my job description. And I wanted to kind of screen for that. And I wanted to ask about those things. And of course, you can ask so many questions with examples and how do you feel about this? But I wanted to see it. And I wanted to say, well, you know what? Let me think about this. If I'm attracting people who have lifelong learning as a value, and I'm attracting people who are hungry for that new knowledge, I don't know what it was, but I think it was reading the book Radical Candor. I've read a lot of Patrick Lencioni. I've been reading a lot of like leadership and HR related things as a team leader, because that's what I've been focusing on. And something triggered in me where I said, oh my God, how am I providing an environment that fosters those things? How am I providing a culture? And God, Charity said it so well at the event we were at when she said, a culture is where things grow. Think about a petri dish culture. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. But culture being, I was like, how am I cultivating through culture? How am I cultivating these skills? Because I can say you have these skills, you bring them to the table. But I go, if you're hungry for these, why am I not serving them on a platter to you? Mm-hmm. So how can I infuse lifelong learning into my culture? And what we actually did was I started brainstorming and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Part of our KPIs is going to be lifelong learning credits, if you will. I've asked every team member to log 4+ hours a month of ongoing learning and share their biggest takeaways from those things. They can be podcasts, books, courses, events, anything, articles. And they log them in this Asana board we have where everybody is contributing to this knowledge pool and sharing what they're learning. And we even do a reimbursement program of up to a certain amount of money with a budget for each employee and contractor, actually, which it gets a little tricky with the contractor thing. But basically, I've allowed for a budget we can spend on development of skills for the benefit of our company, as long as they come back and share what they've learned. So we have a budget for people to go out and do professional development events or whatever they're passionate about in their area of expertise if they want to develop that. I'm having these conversations with them, but I'm sharing like, hey, you guys should listen to this podcast. And instead of me listening to it and then telling them what to go do with it, I'm saying you guys go listen to this and tell me what you think we should do about it. Because A, that saves me a ton of time. B, it puts them in the position of expert. And I think that's the type of person I want to have on my team, is the one who's going to go seek out this new knowledge and be like, thank you for sharing this with me, and then go do something with it. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of what we've done from a benefit standpoint, is we want to really cultivate that. We even have a list of books we'll reimburse you for and all that.
Okay. So you reimburse them for these things. You also pay them 4 hours a month, right?
No, sorry. The log is for them to log 4 hours plus of activity that they've done either in their own time or on company time, whatever it is. It's a knowledge sharing board of, I've gained 4 hours worth of new knowledge this month. I want to make sure everybody is constantly developing. And that's part of your expectation for working here, is that there's a chunk of time that you're spending on future development, not just on the routine tasks and doing all the stuff you're supposed to do, but also in improving yourself or learning something new.
Do you participate in this?
I do. I have the same expectation. So I have to log my hours every month.
What happens if somebody doesn't log hours?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody was excited about this. On the front end, if they all say lifelong learning is a key value, this is your chance to show it. If they don't log their hours month over month, now understand, it's a new process. Other than the adoption of the habit to log the stuff, chances are they're already reading regularly. They're already going to these events. They're already doing these things. And if they're not, then are they really showcasing that value? It's an opportunity for them to demonstrate the value. It's an opportunity for me to provide a culture that fosters the value. But also, it's an opportunity to observe if they're really, you know, willing to put their money where their mouth is and actually show up and do it. So let's just say hypothetically, because this isn't happening now, but if somebody were to skip these hours for 3 months and be like, I'm not doing that, then I'm like, this probably is a good indication that this is a values misalignment. But I don't have to wait until it becomes a bigger issue or something bigger comes to fruition. It's another thing where it's an input into my evaluation of whether they align with the values. And this becomes part of the performance discussion, right? But that's one of those things where I think it's a little bit more subtle than you like didn't do your job or didn't do your work.
Totally.
I want them to treat this like it's a regular job duty.
The other thing I loved and what I wanted to highlight in that conversation was when we are at dinner, Shannon and I ideate back and forth. We have similar businesses. So I'll be like, oh my gosh, I listened to this or I'm listening to that. She usually already has listened to it or implemented it by the time I get it to her. But I shared that I was attending this masterclass and I told Shannon she should go. And she's like, no, I actually want my podcast manager to go. I'm like, well, tell her to go. And your response was something to the effect of, no, I want her to choose whether or not she goes or not. And that was really powerful, because it's easy when you're the boss to be the one dictating what everybody does. But when you have a value like you have, why did you approach it in that way? What's your thoughts behind that? Because I think it's a really powerful distinction as a leader.
When you think about it, it's a waste of money and time if the person doesn't want to go do something or they feel like it's an obligation. Secondarily, this person's a contractor, so I really can't make them do anything. So I'm also like, technically, they're supposed to volunteer that probably if I'm going to sponsor it. But fundamentally, even if this person wasn't a contractor, I can make it available on a list of upcoming events and things that I find out about so they're aware of it. But I want them to basically still sign themselves up, not have me enroll them in something, because I want them to express that they have a desire or burning desire to go learn this thing, and that they're going to show up full out because they've chosen to be there. it's a very different conversation than like when I was in corporate and they would say, you have to go to this conference. And I'm like, I don't even want to go to this. Like, why am I going? And you would feel like it's part of the job or part of the work and like the duties to go and do these things. But when it's something you generally want to do, it's a whole mm-hmm. different way you show up. So I just said, to get the most value out of it, I really want her to volunteer and say, I want to go to this thing. And now my team is slacking me and they're going, hey, I found out about this thing. I would really like to go. I just think it's way more powerful if they come to the table and make a proposal than if mm-hmm. I say, hey, you should think about going to this thing. If they find it on their own and I support it, I think it just sends a different message.
I would agree. What else mm-hmm. have you been very curated in creating on the team?
We do the lifelong learner thing. That's a big thing. I would also say we have the basic employee benefits. I make my 401k plan very much available to people, and we have some health benefits for employees. We've basically just created this environment where I thought about what is it that people value or want in a company, and how do I just become that company they want to work for? And just listening in on what people want before just prescribing what we offer, because we have such a small team and it's growing that I can afford to just ask what people really want as opposed to prescribing this is what we do. And yeah. that's just been a big game changer too, because what I realized, for example, was from like, let's just say health insurance. People think that they have to enroll in this massive plan and be competitive with these Fortune 500 companies. And I go, no, you really don't have to. But if people need help paying for their health insurance or they don't have access to a plan through a spouse or something else, you can offer a reimbursement program or you can offer something else to assist them with that so that they can purchase the health insurance. They feel like there's a benefit there and it's beneficial to them without it being a huge burden on you to enroll in a massive plan, especially because we have virtual employees. If I enrolled in a Connecticut plan, nobody would be able to use the in-network providers because nobody accepts those yep. providers. So we had to get creative with what actually makes sense based on the way my business operates as opposed to what are bigger companies than me doing.
One of our on-demand clients uses some sort of a company. Oh, I'll have to find it. But there's like a company that they work with that helps support the benefits reimbursement that they've been doing for their team. And it was really cool. And I was going to ask you if you knew what it was.
There's all these different options available that will help you bridge the gap. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I opened my mind up to, is that it doesn't have to look one way just because that's how I've always seen it, that there's other creative ways that you can offer those benefits.
Yeah, it's called Take Command Health. Anyways, listeners, I have a client that uses it and they said they've been very happy so far. So another thing that I think has been so cool watching you is how your approach to like training and onboarding your team. Your approach to how you onboarded your intern was like one of my favorite things I've ever heard.
Oh yeah, I forgot
about
that.
Can you share with listeners what you did?
Jackie's positioning this like it's a brilliant idea.
It is.
This is hilarious because every idea that other folks have considered brilliant is born out of my laziness, which is really funny. This intern knows nothing. And you know what I mean by that? Like he's coming in completely green, knows nothing about my business. Like he's in his second year of accounting, his degree. He's still taking like chemistry and general classes for crying out loud. Like he's not specialized whatsoever in this. So I go, okay, I need to make no assumptions that he knows anything. And then that was overwhelming because I was going, oh my gosh, I feel responsible for teaching him how the world works. What is happening? This is crazy. So I said, you know what? A couple of years ago, you started a podcast to teach people this stuff. And you have, at that point, I was like, you have 300 episodes under your belt. Maybe we can find a few of those, because if you're feeling overwhelmed having to teach him all these concepts, chances are you've talked about these for 15 minutes a piece on the show before. And then I was thinking about the duties I was going to have him help with. So I actually started it with, what is he going to be doing over the summer? What are the things I need his help with? And then I actually went back to, wait a minute, I have podcast episodes that explain these things. I have content already that it could be posts, it could be emails, blogs, whatever. I have content on each of these topics of the stuff that I'm having him do. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to make a structure where it's like a syllabus for the internship. And it was, the first thing he would do is go listen to the podcast episodes or watch the YouTubes about that topic to learn fundamentally the concept. So I really actually created an internship around the Keep What You Earn podcast. And I actually put in 3 or 4 episodes for him to listen to every week that became almost the curriculum. It's almost like school, where mm-hmm. here's what I need you to listen to. And then your homework is to go apply it for these clients. And it was super effective. And I think he took to it well because he was able to re-listen to things and refer back to them. Even he could even transcribe it if he wanted to take notes. So in a way, it turned into instructional videos for him for my internship. So in a weird way, unintentionally, my content creation then morphed into my training manual on like the fundamentals of the technical side of things. So like, how does an S corp work? I was like, God, I have 8 episodes on that. I'm going to send him all the episodes and he can listen to it because I create those episodes for people who have no exposure to the topic. Mm-hmm. So I said, he's a perfect audience for this. So I connected those dots, Jackie. And then I was telling you, I was like, I literally just made an internship program based around my podcast. And you thought that was so brilliant. And I was like, it was actually because I was so overwhelmed with having to create content for him to learn that I was like, wait, I think I have some stuff on the shelf here I can use. I don't have to create new stuff.
First of all, it is brilliant. And I think that a lot of people listening are going to agree with me. Second of all, it might be lazy, but you put a lot of effort into creating those.
True.
I'm sure there's some folks listening to this that have created content or something in their business that they could repurpose for the sake of onboarding and training new people. And if you don't, you could also find a curriculum of external things to watch. So like when I worked at Lumi, we created an onboarding deck or plan, I should say. And we did, I don't think I've ever told you this. We created Packaging University, where they had to learn everything about. I know so much about packaging because of this, because I co-created it with our team. And some of it were videos from YouTube about like how they recycle egg cartons and like stuff like that. Some of it was actually like practical learning. And then we mailed kits of like different types of packaging and we would do lessons. But there was a section of our onboarding that was more tailored around learning our culture. And so everybody had to watch the Radical Candor video by Kim Scott. We had industry newsletters that people had to sign up for and read the newsletters. So you might not have it all your own, but I bet there's stuff out there that you could leverage to help onboard your team that we're not using.
And also it might be technical in nature, like what I do, right? So we have certain things about taxes you have to fundamentally understand. And I even did this with one of my employees this morning. We were having a one-on-one and I realized that she didn't know the rules around S Corp salaries. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Instead of me taking another 45 minutes to explain this to you, here's a link of me explaining it in my podcast and you can go listen to it. So it's not just in the onboarding either. I didn't realize how much content creation was going to have multiple benefits, but this has definitely been a super helpful tool to have and also have it be like searchable or cataloged. So now we can actually, like in the Asana board I made for the internship, it was like week 1 to 12. And then underneath that was all the tasks that have to happen in week 1 through 12. And there was a theme of every week of what he was going to be learning and then doing and applying. And then it was going to culminate with working on a tax return. So it was really cool because it was like learning all the elements and then putting it all together.
Yeah.
And it was a whole curriculum. I would say if anyone's thinking about, especially an intern, hiring an intern or hiring somebody even for a project or something like that, that was actually hugely helpful. It was very rewarding as well, and rewarding for him because he got so much exposure to real life application of what he was learning in school and got to learn it in a different way from me and from my team. And that was a really helpful thing for him to supplement with his education.
And also, accountants are very hard to hire. It's becoming more and more challenging to find good accountants. And I only know this from my conversation. Less people are studying to be accountants, which is going to make it very hard to hire them, right? And so what you are also doing is creating a modern, exciting approach to the accounting career for this intern. And so he's still working with you, right? Like it was just a summer internship, but he's decided to stay with you. And do you think he'll stay with you until he graduates? And will you hire him? I don't know if we need to put this in a podcast, but like it's a talent development kind of plan too, I guess is my point here.
Yeah, I guess the feedback I consumed was, I guess that worked because he decided not to leave. He asked if he could stay through the fall semester. Now we're into the winter and the spring. He's excited to see a tax season come to fruition and see how that goes. And actually, this is another thing with him in particular. He's leveraging our program to do the reimbursement. And I'm actually co-sponsoring. He's taking a trip to the Himalayas to learn leadership skills as part of his school curriculum. And he asked if he could use that stipend. He's, would you be willing to co-sponsor that if I come back and teach what I learned? I'm like, absolutely. He's really taken it and run with it. And I'm really excited about it because he's showing a lot of enthusiasm, which is really rare for accountants. Like you just said, it's people are studying it, but to be this young in your career and even just still in your undergrad and be like feel engaged with your employer like that is really important to me to create that type of culture so that we're improving the reputation of what it's like to be an accountant right now or to work in accounting.
Also, so many people, and I am going to say around our age, millennials and Gen X are like, nobody wants to work. The young people are so different. All they do is bitch and complain about the young people. And it's like, you know what? Why don't you do your part in being a place where people do want to develop those skills? And I just think it's so easy to like wipe our hands of any responsibility, but it's like you're actually doing the part of teaching people the skills you want them to be effective in your company. And that's what you need to do if you want to attract talent and have a high performing team. So kudos to you on that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard because you have the pressure to set expectations, but the opportunity to set expectations, especially when somebody's young in their career, you have the opportunity to raise their expectations of what it's like to work in your field or for a company like you. It's a lot of pressure to think about, but it's also such a fun way of looking at this is an opportunity to show them that it can be better or that we can cultivate a team and an environment that helps them thrive. And I think that if you make an employee like you make your customer, where you're willing to change your processes a little bit that are more favorable to your customer, like why won't you do that for your employees if it will make them more productive or work better, if it's not going to take away from your own productivity, your own experience or anything? It's worth investing in from a time or money standpoint to attract the right talent.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. If listeners are like, oh my gosh, I want to learn from you. Obviously, we've talked about your podcast, so let's share where to get that. I also follow you on LinkedIn and you're providing great information, of course, about accounting and CFO stuff, but also you do share some team stuff there. So yep. I guess if listeners to the show want to learn more from you from like a leadership perspective and how you're building your team, where can they do that?
Yeah. So you mentioned LinkedIn. So LinkedIn's where I show up as an accountant talking to accountants. So it's fun because as a business owner, sharing what I'm learning, you can find me on other social platforms where I'm teaching to entrepreneurs about what it is we know versus what it is we do in our company. And then, of course, the Keep What You Earn podcast is where you can find all the content that we're putting out. We do daily episodes. We're north of 500 episodes now, which is insanity. And that is my favorite place to hang out.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being a good boss. And thank you for being one of my business besties, even more importantly.
Thank you. You too. You're one of my business besties too. And guys, like, have an HR person as one of your business besties.
See, I told you'd leave feeling inspired to go out and create your culture and your values. Shannon is incredible, and I literally learn from her every week. She shared how she's been crafting her core values early and how with a small team, she's been able to really weave them into her business and how she's consistently reflecting on the different business practices and team practices that she's doing regularly to make sure that she is supporting and reinforcing the behavior she actually wants her workers to have. I'm positive that you're really feeling like you got some strategies or maybe even a different way of thinking about how you can help your team feel empowered and really start to give them a sense of autonomy over their work. And if she can make an accounting firm a place where people are excited to be a part of, you can do the same in your industry. No shade to accountants or the accounting industry. It's just an industry known for burnout and like some traditional stereotypes. And she is completely blowing that out of the water. So if she can do it, you can do it. Before we part ways, if there's someone in your network, a friend, a colleague, a business bestie who you think could benefit from the insights and strategies Shannon and I talked about, why not share this with them? It's a great way to extend the value you found here and help all of us create better workplaces. Plus, it'll make me and Shannon feel good. So why not help us out? Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, go out and be a great boss.